I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. Last year, the Food and Drug Administration stepped into a new territory. It approved a heart failure medication called Bidal, specifically for African Americans. Bidal is the only race-specific drug on the U.S. market. But now, more than a year since the drug's release, sales are dismal. Debate over the race in medicine question continues. From member station KQED in San Francisco, Sarah Varney reports.
Researchers don't know why, but African Americans have much higher rates of heart failure than other racial and ethnic groups. That's why Black advocacy groups greeted Bidal with such fanfare. An early study seemed to suggest the drug worked better in African Americans, and a follow-up clinical trial showed that when used with standard therapies, Bidal sharply reduced deaths from heart failure. But because the makers of Bidal included only self-identified African Americans in the drug trial, the FDA approved the drug only for Blacks.
Pass the string beans, please, and the sweet potatoes.
Granddaddy, let's play hide-and-go-seek after dinner. Please.
Bidal came out in July 2005. After lackluster sales, the maker of Bidal, Nitromed, ran radio ads in select markets this fall. The firm also worked with Black community groups to get the word out. But so far, Nitromed says only 2-3% of Black heart failure patients are using the drug. Instead, doctors are prescribing the cheaper generic components that make up Bidal. Health insurers, too, have balked at paying for a brand-name drug when there's a lower-cost alternative. That hasn't sat well with the NAACP.
It's a serious enough issue that we are not going to sit back and just let it happen or fail to happen.
NAACP Health Committee member Juan Cofield has urged some of the nation's largest health plans to offer Bidal, saying the move would save lives. That came after the NAACP and Nitromed formed a $1.5 million partnership to help Blacks improve their health habits and access to medical care. Cofield says Bidal is just a small part of the NAACP's health efforts, but some medical ethicists question cheerleading a drug that implies race is in some way biological, a logic often used by white supremacists to explain why some minorities don't do well in school or have more violence in their neighborhoods.
That really can lead us down the wrong path in terms of trying to provide good health care for everyone.
Stanford University ethicist Sandra Soo-Jin Lee makes this point. If drugs are targeted to specific races, it can suggest a racial or ethnic group's health problems, like lower life expectancy and infant mortality among Blacks, are genetic rather than social or environmental, which makes doing something about the problem less of a priority. Berkeley, California-based cardiologist Dr. Dwayne Stevens says environment is important. He says heart failure is higher in Blacks in part because the underlying causes, like stress about finances or safe housing, often aren't detected early enough.
Blacks in this country and Hispanics and minorities in general, access to health care is a problem. Adequate health care is a problem. Insurance is a problem. So many patients tend to go for a longer period of time before they actually enter the healthcare system.
That said, Dr. Stevens contends his African-American heart failure patients do seem to respond better to Bidal than his non-Black patients, and he has no idea why.
To totally dismiss a genetic, if you will, in general, or possibly a race-based difference may be missing the mark.
A growing number of medical researchers agree. University of California San Francisco Medical School professor Esteban Burchard says people in one racial or ethnic group tend to share a common ancestry.
You will find that African Americans in the United States are on average 80% African and 20% European.
Burchard contends that ancestral makeup brings with it genetic baggage that interacts with diet, exercise, income, and many other factors. And in some way, that endlessly complicated hodgepodge may account for different drug response or susceptibility to disease.
What we all know already is that drugs are not going to work the same across every single population, just like they don't work the same between men and women, between young and old. So I think where we're going is that we're going to become more conscientious of some of these differences and include them into our decision-making when prescribing medications. But I don't think it's ever going to be cut and dry that you're this race, so you get this drug.
Nitromed would also like to know if there are certain genes that might explain why Blacks appear to respond better to their Wonder Drug. and perhaps develop a genetic test to identify other potential customers. Stanford ethicist Soo-Jin Lee says as pharmaceutical companies rely more on race in their research, they should be using racial definitions that are far more rigorous than the six U.S. census categories.
Census categories really have emerged from a socio-historical process, and then to overlay them as having scientific or biological validity, I think, is really asking those categories to do something much more than they were intended to do.
Illinois Senator Barack Obama introduced legislation earlier this year calling for more nuanced definitions of race in medical research, but the bill has languished. There are big stakes involved. Biomedical ethicists worry if Bidill succeeds and other drug makers follow, without more rigorous guidelines, the pharmaceutical industry may decide smaller populations, like Asians, Native Americans, and even African Americans, don't account for enough market share to justify investing in new research. But for the moment, Bidill has opened the door for more dubious race-specific products, like vitamins, which don't require FDA approval. A Florida-based company offers different multivitamins and weight loss pills based on skin tone. For NPR News, I'm Sarah Varney in San Francisco.